You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for joining us. Of course, the services have begun now for Chicago Police Officer Ella French. Her wake at St. Rita is underway, and funeral services will be tomorrow. It is a day that the city takes pause as we remember her sacrifice. On the phone line now is the Second Ward Alderman, Brian Hopkins. Alderman, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Just a moment, if you will. Give me your reflection on the death of Ella French and where we are as a city because of it.
Well, you know, I have to say for the last couple of days, I've sensed a shift in some of the attitudes towards police officers. It might be because of the story of Ella French. It's hard to portray someone like that as anything but a hero. Even when we didn't know her, when she was doing her job anonymously, upholding her oath to protect and serve, the stories that are coming out really show she's the kind of person you want to be wearing the badge. Mm-hmm. You want them on the police force. And I think it's really caused people to reflect a little bit on the anti-police attitude that has been allowed to grow in the last couple of years. And every time we see, an unfortunate incident, like what we've seen recently in Minneapolis and here in Chicago, too. If that's repeated over and over and over again on the news, it really seems like it's happening over and over and over again when these are isolated incidents. And what is really happening are people like Ella French and her partner, who's fighting, for his life still, Carlos Yanez. These are admirable people. These are people we should respect and people who we should be grateful we have in a society like this. And I sense that there's a growing awareness of that. So that's a good thing. And there were, a lot of reflections. I know the memorial service was today as well, and there'll be others. And I'm hearing people talk about how this may have changed attitudes.
We're talking to Alderman Brian Hopkins of the Second Ward. You know, earlier today, Alderman, we were talking about a WGN poll, and it showed just that, it compared to a month ago, how support of the police had jumped considerably, and the poll was taken in the days after Ella French's death. So I think you're definitely on to something there. Hopefully we can hold on to that. Another issue today, the CTU said that they are not close to an agreement on returning to schools over safety matters. I want you to listen here to CTU President Jesse Sharkey.
We are beginning without a comprehensive reopening agreement. This is a real problem. We want the district to be exactly clear about what they're going to do in all situations in school. Last year we had 6 feet. That was extremely important during mealtime, for example, when kids take off their masks. This year they want 3 feet where possible. We're not even sure what 3 feet where possible means. For grades pre-K through 5, that's going to be simpler because no one's vaccinated at this point. But in grades 6 through 12, there's going to be a lot of this mix and match, simultaneous instruction, part of the classroom in, part of the classroom out, and we really feel like we need support. We need staffing support from the district. They're not willing to make those commitments, and we're not willing to sign an agreement without those commitments. And so we have an impasse. So at this point, what I think I would have to say is that if we go back in and there's a dangerous surge, we count on the mayor and the district to do the right thing. And if they don't, we'll take matters into our own hands.
So that is a digest of what Jesse Sharkey said earlier today. It sounds as if it's just not possible for there to be labor peace between the CTU and CPS.
Well, we had a couple of months, after the very generous raise was given. Everybody seemed like they were happy for a while. But, that's ancient history now. And I don't disagree with Mr. Sharkey on this matter anyway. I disagreed with him in the past on a lot of things. But he has a valid point right now. It's highly probable if we reopen schools on time without the aggressive mitigation measures that this airborne virus indicates, we're going to have surges all over the city. You're seeing that in the South, where some of the schools have already opened in some of the southern states. They're opening during a time when prevalence and spread is at near record levels, and the predictable is happening. Children are infecting other children. Unvaccinated children under 12 are getting this virus, and they're passing it on to their cohorts. That is a fact. That is happening everywhere. And without aggressive mitigation measures without ventilation and filtration and mandatory masks at all times, not taking them off to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at all times, we're going to have that here in Chicago too. And I'm just not hearing enough conversation about it. We've had months to make the necessary changes to the school HVAC systems and the ventilation systems, and it's been spotty at best. We're just not where we need to be. And by the way, this is permanent. When the pandemic eventually ends, I think what we're going to see is a renewed interest on indoor air quality and how it relates to health. And from this day forward, now that we know how it works, it's on us. We have the obligation to change the way air is filtered, the way air is ventilated, and the way indoor air is processed in all of our spaces, especially schools, but offices and homes and just about restaurants, of course, just about anywhere where you go indoors. That is inevitable. We are moving in that direction. We're just moving way too slowly.
That's Alderman Brian Hopkins of the Second Ward. So, Alderman, do you foresee a situation where you might prefer remote learning for those younger children?
Unfortunately, yes. At this moment in time, I believe that's where we're at. We're just not ready for schools to reopen. This Delta variant is so much more transmissible. The FDA is dragging its feet on approving the vaccination for children under 12. It should be out already. We already have enough data to suggest that the rate of adverse incidence among children when they're vaccinated is remarkably low. It's not zero. There's a little bit of risk. There's a condition called myocarditis that does happen in isolated cases. But that risk is so much smaller than the risk of long COVID to young children when they get infected with this virus. It's an easy trade-off, and we should be making it right now. We should allow parents who are willing to take that risk to get their children vaccinated right now. Only then will it be safe to reopen schools.
So, Alderman Brian Hopkins, you're saying if you were running CPS today, you would have remote learning in the schools for the younger students?
I would, absolutely. We're just not ready. And as I said, we now know that child-to-child transmission from this particular variant wasn't so much with the original wild-type virus. Children didn't quite get infected at the same rates, and we think there's a lot of reasons for that. I won't go into it. But that's out the window now with Delta. It's no different than any other daycare outbreak. Anyone who's ever had a child in a daycare setting knows, you know, the one kid comes in with pink eye, and the next day 20 kids have it. Kids are very efficient at transmitting pathogens to each other, and that's exactly what's going to happen with this Delta variant. One kid gets sick, comes to school asymptomatic, gives it to the entire classroom the next day. That's inevitable, and we're just not ready for it.
Have you shared this concern with the mayor's office or with CPS?
I have, and I know there's a handful of my colleagues that feel the same. I actually signed a letter from CTU. I think that may be the first time CTU has waved a letter under my nose and asked me to sign it, that I actually did.
Yeah.
But they made all these points that I'm making right now. And they're right. They're right. So I stand against them when I think they're wrong. I'm going to stand with them when I think they're right. And I think they're right on this issue.
Hey, I didn't expect to be derailed on this or to spend as much time on it. But I also wanted to ask you about the ward remap. The black population in the city down 10% in this latest census. The Latino population is up. There currently are, where are my numbers here? There are 13, I think, Latino seats and 20 black seats. Is the African-American caucus going to shrink when the new map is drawn?
It's possible. It's going to be very hard to draw a new map that would preserve the number of African-American seats that we have right now. I'd like to think we're beyond that at this point. We have two African-American aldermen who represent majority white seats. I'd like to think we're at the point where maybe the voters of Chicago are ready to elect an alderman they believe is the best candidate, with race maybe being a secondary concern instead of the number one concern that it, you know, has been for mm-hmm. so long, since race has dominated Chicago politics since anybody can remember. But there's exceptions to that. We have two of them right now. They're doing a fine job. I think they're probably going to get reelected. I mean, I don't know who may run against them, but I haven't heard any sort of movement saying, oh, my God, we've got two African-American aldermen representing mm-hmm. white wards. We can't have that. Nobody's saying that. So maybe there's hope for society. Maybe we've matured and we've gotten past it, and we can draw racially balanced seats and then let a variety of candidates seek those offices and let the voters choose who they're going to choose. I think in a perfect world, that's the direction we'd be moving.
Alderman Brian Hopkins, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for your insight today.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
We're going to check in on the Afghan refugees coming up after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.